We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
HGO White Sox postgame show presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in to the Studio B. The B stands for burger. The B stands for bombs because we are coming to you live from the West Loop of Chicago here in our downtown studios. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. That's Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at Akramal23. On the Twitter, he's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We'll be joined by Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer, later on. We're coming to you live after a White Sox winner, 7-2. Got home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets, and Jake Berger.
Damn straight.
And Jake Berger said, for good measure, here's a triple as well. A triple!
We're not surprised by this. As we looked up earlier, he has a second, he's like an 85th percentile in sprint speed.
Well, 85th is, I think it's 75.
I don't know about that. Earlier it was 85th percentile.
It's not 85th.
And earlier in the year, I showed you it was 80.
It's 76.
Now it is.
You're so dramatic.
Now it is. Back then it was 85th percentile. Smoking. I showed it to you.
You're smoking.
I literally showed it to you. You're like, I was right behind Luis Robert. I'm telling you.
I know exactly what you're saying. And you're talking about feet per second.
No.
And in that he was second on the team behind Luis Robert in feet per second.
Correct.
That was not the percentile slider, my friend.
I said percentile. You would change it to feet per second. Sean.
You are just not listening and you're just trying to be right. You're very stubborn.
I'm very right.
Okay. No, you're not. You're wrong. I love you, Shane. Mwah, I love you. All right. Poor Cody. It's his damn birthday. And where I'm sitting there. Hoping him, you know, that Brandon Hughes or whoever that is can get an out. One, two outs. And Kyle Tucker, oof, that man. Singles.
See?
Makes it 75.
KPW. Canadian.
Told all right. You. Okay. Hey, man.
It was 85th percentile. Okay.
Hey, whatever. Jake Berger, good at hitting. Jake Berger hits the hell out of the ball at home. White Sox win 7-2. We saw a stat earlier pregame. White Sox were 6-7 when they hit two or more home runs. Now we can say they are 7-7 when they hit two or more home runs in a game.
It's a good stat for the White Sox. You see why it's as such, because they got actual decent pitching, and they've gotten decent pitching at least last turn pretty much from all their starters, Sands and one guy, Kopech. But this is what the White Sox need more than the hitting. They need their starters to do what Mike Clevinger did today, like Lance Lynn did yesterday, to go as far as they did and to pitch as effectively as they did. Even though I don't think Mike Clevinger literally pitched well, I think the Cleveland Guardians are just really bad at hitting, especially when they don't have the best player in the AL Central there in Jose Ramirez, and then White Sox killer Josh Naylor.
Yeah. Naylor left the game yesterday, didn't play in today's game, and then Ramirez is on the bereavement list. So that bad lineup just gets worse. Mm-hmm. And I think since August 3rd, they've been like the worst in baseball
by weighted runs created plus, and it's like 64. Like, their offense has been horrible. Like, Kwan's a tough at bat, but he's not going to do any damage. I mean, he's basically Andrew Benintendi, but better. You know, Jimenez is a tough at bat, but he struggles to, I think, find power as well. Josh Bell.
Yeah.
He's mid.
I mean, we were
pretty,
in that
pretty rough
in that at bat with it was Ronaldo Lopez versus Jimenez. You're like, throw him fastballs, throw him high fastballs. It's the perfect situation. You're not, he's not going to hit a home run off of you. He had three on the year, but they struggle on hitting home runs and hitting fastballs. And you saw what he did to both those guys. Went up the stairs and got a strikeout on Rosario. And I forgot what he did to Jimenez, but I think he also got a favorable result there too.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't allow a run, which was huge. Raylo was clean today, which was huge. Clevinger had to be relieved in the seventh because he loaded the bases. He was
he Clevinger, was fine. He did his job. He did, as we asked for, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs or less. He did his job, and yeah, that's exactly what he needs to do.
Sarah with the stats, 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 5 Ks, 4 walks for Mike Clevinger.
But, you know, I'm process over results. When we get to the actual results of what Mike Clevinger did as far as swings and misses and called strikes, you'll see people out there who are watching and people who are listening will verbalize it for you. Not great.
I didn't take the screenshots just because I didn't want to make it to be a huge part of the show. But swings and misses, 10 swings and misses for Clevinger on 44 swings, 3 on his four-seam fastball on 24 swings, 10 fouls. Again, like what we saw with Philly, they had power lefties. We really don't see that with Cleveland. And who's the fifth hitter today? Brennan?
Yeah.
That guy was smoking balls.
This is what I'm saying. That's the thing. Like, I know the White Sox are playing well. They are playing well. They're hitting home runs for the second consecutive game. They got 3 home runs from their lineup. Awesome. Gavin Sheets and Berger are part of the mix there. Just switching Robert for Vaughn today. But are they more them playing well, or is it more Cleveland is just horrific right now? Not, don't tell me both, people, because I said either. I didn't say either or. I said an either or question. So which one is more, the White Sox playing well, or is Cleveland that bad?
I think it's Cleveland's that bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Cleveland was going to be contending for this division.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I had the Twins winning this division. I thought it was going to be the Twins and White Sox duking it out here. I just really didn't think that Cleveland was... I mean, they were the youngest team to do that.
Yeah.
What they did last year, they were the youngest team. That's tough to repeat.
But I thought they did it in a way where...
No.
It could be repeated because of, you know, just being... They didn't hit a lot of home runs. It wasn't a lot of flukish things happening for them that last year. They pitched well. They had a lot of contact, and they got a lot of hits. Yeah, and they have a lot of left-handers. I thought the shift would open up some more hits for them, but no, sir.
They played a ton of close games, and that's the thing. That type of luck is going to switch. But anyways, like, I mean, they don't hit for power. That's how you win baseball games consistently. That's why Jake Berger, who we'll talk about later, should be up in the lineup. All that guy does, at least at home. All he does at home is hit home runs. I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy up in your lineup getting as many opportunities to hit home runs. But Clevinger, just to round it out.
Damn it, Dan.
25% called strike whiff percentage on his four-seam fastball and on all 95 pitches. What did you think about the kind of meeting to start the seventh between Katz and Clevinger being like, hey, this is the plan?
I don't know if it was because of Sebi coming in the game. I think that was the time where Sebi came in the game, and they probably wanted to get a game plan and what the pitches are on the pitch com, all that things and such. Paul asked, was anybody surprised when he came back for the seventh? I think he was under 90 pitches, so no, I'm not surprised. And he was relatively going easily through the Cleveland Guardians lineup, even though he was walking people. I think he walked 4 batters today. So, yes, but also I was surprised that there was – not really a thing where he gave up the first runner and then gave up the second runner and then he let him give up a third runner on base to load the bases up before he finally pulled him out of the game. I would have been like, okay, this is your last inning. I see any trouble. Anybody gets on base, I'm coming to get you, and it's Ronaldo Lopez time. But he's been very slow and very hesitant on these moves. I don't know if it's Cat's doing the moves or if it's Pedro, but he's the manager, so he's going to get the blame on that one. I just think that it's not, you know, advantageous for him and the pitcher that he has out there to see him being tired. You can see him couldn't throw any strikes, and then he didn't really take him out. He didn't really even address the guy.
You know, it is really ironic that ComEd is a sponsor, yet we're having a blackout. You know what I'm saying? You know, you think we wouldn't have, you know, power issues with Kyle. Anyways.
I should be able to see you here.
Yeah, I see you perfectly fine. Sorry, people. We're working on the technical difficulties there.
Difficulty. You guys don't need to see us.
No, you don't.
You can hear our voices. You're like,
look at that.
You're like the podcast listeners. Podcast listeners, we're actually having a blackout on our YouTube feed live. But you know what? You're getting the same experience that they do.
Since our battery's exhausted.
The dulcet tones of Herb and Sean.
Shout out to Herman Rome for the super chat. I pray this team keeps winning so that it doesn't get blown up. These are the best rosters I've seen in my fandom. They have to be who they truly are. You'd hope so, Herman. The main component on why the rebuild has/will fail is because of injuries.
Yes.
We all know that. I mean, you know, it's not because, you know, Mike Clevinger is the fourth pitcher, right, or whatever. You know, Adam Eaton's out in right field. It's that Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, and Yasmani Grandal have not played in games together to a substantial amount. I mean, 46 games in the 3 years since 2020.
Yep.
Like, it's a horrible number. And what do we see today? Like, yes, Yasmani Grandal tweaking his back, getting a hit, but also tweaking his back. So, like, it is tough, Herman, that, you know, to pray to keep that this team keeps winning because we all want this team to keep winning. I would love nothing more if they just kept winning series. But this is the third series they've won in 2023. They finally hit, you know, three plus home runs this game. We've seen that for two straight games, but is that going to dry up? May's been very powerful for the White Sox, but, you know, can they actually make that continue? And maybe we'll see the White Sox evolve past the need of Tim Anderson, because now we're seeing folks call for him to be moved down the lineup. I mean, we're discussing Jake Berger moving up. If Jake Berger needs to move up, someone needs to move down. And I know Tim had some hits today, but also Peyton Battenfield.
You know, it's bad.
You should be getting hits off that guy.
And I think I brought it up last year and maybe an offseason show that, you know, let's look into Tim maybe not hitting leadoff, because if he's not hitting for power and if he's not getting on base at a 360 plus clip where he usually gets that via his hitting and he's not hitting right now, it's not just a, you know, dictatorship where you just stay at the leadership at the head of the lineup. If you're not good, it's a meritocracy. We need people who are up at the lineup to get more at bats. And if you're not giving good at bats, which today I think he had some solid at bats, then you need to be moved down. Now, as people have brought up, it's not a punishment forever. It's not into perpetuity. He can being brought back up once he finds his way back to the leadoff spot. But as of right now, I got to get more bats for Jake Berger. I got to get more bats for Gavin Sheets. Both those guys got to move up in the order while they're in here. And people like, even though he's hitting the ball, but he's not hitting the ball with authority, you got to put Andrew Benintendi maybe at the eighth spot and put these guys up earlier and just move the lineup up a little bit more. And maybe not Tim in like the eight or nine, but put him at like the six or seven.
Yeah. And
he won a batting title, I think, at the sixth spot.
Who?
Tim, I believe.
Sixth spot?
I think he was late.
2019?
I thought he was late in the thing. I could be wrong.
Really?
I don't recall. You can check it out.
Oh no, I'm just trying to think of who is leading off for those teams. 19. I'm looking it up. I'm sorry. My bad. Oh,
no,
God.
It's going. Jake could.
I didn't know if you wanted.
No. I'm just saying, like, he can be anywhere in the order if he wants to, but being first means that you are actually doing the job of getting on base.
Okay, you're right.
Either way, you get on base. Either you walk, you hit. If you do those two things and you're Tim Anderson of the past, I'm in. Be the leadoff guy.
Who was the leadoff guy in 2019, Herb?
2019 White Sox leadoff guy. I don't want to.
134 games.
God damn, he played a lot.
He played a lot.
What position?
That's the best part about this player.
No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Rudy Garcia. No.
134 way. Games, oh, baby, for the 72-win White Sox.
Oh, my God. I mean, it makes sense.
Tim had 65 games batting second. Mm-hmm. Tim had 31 games batting seventh. And Tim had 12 games batting sixth.
Okay, so
and mostly, 9 games batting fifth. So,
mostly just, second then.
Yeah, batted all around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly second, though, 65 games. I do want to go to Beefloaf's comment here because we're talking about the lineup. Like, what do you make of Pedro Grifol?
He makes a lot of rookie mistakes. That you had it right there, Sarah.
Yeah, right there. Why the heck are they using Kelly in the eighth and Graveman in the ninth up five? Seemed odd. I mean, this has been something that I've brought up, I think, in the Rays series at home when they were down like eight. They're throwing the back of their bullpen, Kelly, Graveman, and Reynaldo Lopez, like down seven runs. We've seen this multiple times from Pedro Grifol. I understand like rookie mistake, but like you keep making the rookie mistake. Yeah. I don't understand it. Because even Garrett Crochet, somebody who I've thought would be used in the first two games since he's been made active on the roster. We see him in the bullpen warming next to Kendall Graveman. And yet he's not brought in.
And this is the thing. Tomorrow, it's a quick turnaround. It's a 110 start. I guarantee if an opportunity for Raylo, Kendall, or Joe Kelly comes up, which they're your reliable bullpen people, one of those people won't be available because they pitched 12 hours ago, they pitched 13 hours ago, whatever it was. And you'll hear the things after the game. He wasn't available. Then go to people who shouldn't be pitching. Like the Raylo time, I was fine with to relieve Clevinger. But Kelly, no. Kelly's just too damn good now to be pitching in a game that's out of order. It was a 5-run game. No. And then when the game was definitely sealed, that's Garrett Crochet time. And if Garrett Crochet gets it into any trouble, yeah, get Kendall Graveman up if he gives up 2-3 runs. But, yeah, I can see tomorrow this happening, and I'll be pissed. Yeah, he makes a lot of rookie errors. Like we've already talked about Jake Berger hitting eighth. And I saw somebody say, Jay Cutter said he hits this in eighth spot. It's not because he's hitting in the eighth spot that he's hitting.
Good.
He's just good. So he should be hitting earlier so you can get him more bats so you can score more runs. I get it. The spot he hits well in, it's not the spot that he hits well in.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to be a slave to what he hits, you know, eighth. I'm going to literally look up Herb name. I mean, there's 9 batting positions.
Yes.
Name one.
Third.
Third. Okay. Actually, he's bad batting third.
Fourth.
967 OPS.
Great.
All right.
Fifth.
1085.
Those work.
Yeah.
Bat him fifth.
Yeah, don't bat him seventh though, because he's got a 597th OPS. He sees that number seven, and you like, know, 789.
God, I'm scared now. Yeah,
right. All right. And I know we're not shooting the messenger, Fred. We love you. Soxopus. Do you want to do the Soxopus now that they've hit 3 home runs in a game?
We don't have the Sox with us.
They're somewhere.
It's too late.
It's not too late.
It's too late. No.
With that attitude,
if they get 5 wins in a row, I'll do the Soxtopus.
5 wins in a row. You got it. All right.
5 wins in a row, Soxtopus.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk more Soxtopus, more home runs. I think we'll dive more into, are the Guardians bad? Are the White Sox bad? And sweep, too, because you laughed at Jason Benetti when Jason was like, oh, and they'll have their first chance to sweep an opponent tomorrow.
That's
not true.
They've had plenty of chances.
And they lost.
One, at least. I know that was the twin. And twins.
Well, that one was close, too, right?
Yep.
That was 4-3 or something like that?
Yep.
I don't remember that game. You sound like the disdain in your voice sounds like you remember that game.
Yeah, I think they gave up a lead and they lost the game late. I'm pretty sure they did versus the twins. That was a walk. It was a getaway game.
Pretty oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, God. It was the game that went to 12. Yes. Okay. All right. Right. Yeah. Alex Colomé was on this team again. Oh, yeah. I did black that out. Thank God. All right. We'll take a quick break. going to let you know about our friends over at Pins and Aces. It's been beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you are, the ad break needs more props. Sarah, I'm going to ask you for a favor here. Josh is asking for more props. Can you just go out and just grab a shit ton of props that don't have to make any sense? Pins and Aces is the official golf apparel partner of All City and CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear and get tons of compliments on and off the course. They are family-owned golf and apparel business. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store up to 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep drinks cold the entire round. So check out pinsandaces.com and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. And again, you know, lovely weather coming out. Got to hit the links. There you go. There's her in a Pins and Aces hat. Perfect. There's your prop, Josh. A Pins and
Aces
hat.
We have more props, but they're doing a show over there, and so I can't grab them.
Who cares? We're doing a show in here.
They lost.
Oh, what? We can't. Is it? Are you afraid of Cody?
They're losers.
No, I'm keeping it professional. I don't want to disrupt the vibe of anything.
Are you afraid of Cody?
I'm not afraid of Cody.
I know the Cubs lost. He could be very,
can I
very
go out there and ask him if they lost
testy.
Or not?
He was happier earlier. He was really happy earlier.
It's his birthday. Poor team couldn't win the game.
You guys,
for him.
I'm not used to this guy, but Cubs fans have been chirping a lot this year, talking a lot. Cubs had a lead 6-1 in the 8th. Some bitches lost 7-6. I'm not usually a Cubs guy, but them and the Lions fans, man, they've been talking way too much. Puffy chested about themselves. Oh, we're out again. Oh no, it's dark. Please help us.
Oh boy.
I don't know why I turned into a robot. But I am wearing this Pins and Aces hat.
A blank name. Calm yourself, my friend. I swear, Herb and Sean would complain if prime Tony Gwynn was hitting 350 in the White Sox lineup just because he was not hitting home runs. What are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
Is Andrew Benintendi prime Tony Gwynn? Please tell me. Is he hitting 350? Who are we complaining about that's hitting 350? I would love if someone was hitting 350. What? What are you talking about?
That's
a loyal listener. Shout out to Blank Name.
Maybe but Andrew Benintendi? He's not hitting for power, which people at
he's
the,
not hitting 350.
No, and people should be hitting. He's hitting well the last couple games, but he's not. Like, when we say process or results, just because the hits are going through doesn't mean he's doing well with the bat. This team that they're facing might just be.
Oh boy, Vinny's here.
Piss poor.
I got to finish this ad read.
Okay.
Well, again, it's just the GM said, ball go far, team go far. And he went out and got.
Slapping Judy guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Punching Judy. I know it is.
You sound like Ozzy. You're going to take, want to let you know though, about our friends over at Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets to all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you could stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. They have flash deals and last minute tickets. So if you are looking to maybe ditch work, I don't know if school's still in, but maybe ditch school. And go to the White Sox game tomorrow at 1:10. Game Time has you covered. They have easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. And you can forget planning for months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hello, Vinny. Oh.
Hello.
Okay, there you go. I don't know. You weren't on screen. Now you are on screen, and now I can see you. Follow Vinny on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. I'm not complaining about Andrew Benintendi. We're just saying the king of the game is Jake Berger. He's batting eighth, and we just think that he should be rewarded sliding up the lineup. Sarah, would you mind flashing the king of the game here? Shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook, too. I won a lot of money tonight. But Jake Berger, 3-for-4 tonight, 2 RBIs, 1 home run, and a triple. But we kind of been talking about this to start, Vinny. Will we see Jake Berger move up the lineup, or if it ain't broke, don't fix it in the mind of Pedro Grifol?
Well, I think Pedro Grifol is doing what he's doing on purpose. I would argue if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I see a guy hit a home run tonight, a guy who's on a tremendous streak, and then it's followed up by a tweet from Herb that says, oh, he's hitting eighth. But Herb, who cares? He's hitting. That's what matters. Everybody on this team decided not to hit last year, for the most part. For the first month and a half of the season, wasn't a lot of hitting going on this team. They're going to hit. Let them hit. I think I get what you're saying over the course of the whole season with the, you know, when you look at it in the aggregate and everything. You know what? They won. Let them win how they win a game. That's what I say. If they start going back in the toilet and Jake Berger's still hitting, then we can talk. But if the guy's going to bat eighth and hit home runs, that's something you should be happy about, in my opinion.
I got it. I get your opinion. But those are results-based reactions instead of process-based reactions of he's actually hitting not because he's hitting in the eighth spot. He's hitting because he's a good hitter. You shouldn't have people who are not hitting who are batting first and second. Yes, Andrew Benintendi's hitting singles, but we said ball go far, team go far. That's what my point is. Like, it's counterproductive. You're hurting your own team by hitting the guy only eighth. You're getting fewer at-bats in that same game, not just the full season. In that very game, you get one less at-bat from Jake Berger than possibly most of the guys in the lineup. So that's what I'm saying. You should have that guy hit more than, I don't know, anybody. He's the best hitter right now. It's besides Luis Robert.
I will say this. I brought up the fact because we've got, you know, when the White Sox got Jake Berger back on Sunday, we got to talk to Pedro about it. And I asked Pedro, you know, what's the benefit of having Jake back here? And he said he lengthens the lineup. He lengthens the lineup. Well, you know, you've got the lineup lengthened now all the way down to the eighth spot. And I brought it up again tonight after he hits and, you know, kind of saying like, oh, you get pie the middle of the order and you got Jake Berger down there. That's got to be pretty nice, right? And what he brought up was not the guy who was batting eighth, but the guy who was batting seventh. Yasmani Grandal, who's been getting on base, who's been getting in front of Jake Berger, and all of a sudden the lineup's built like that maybe for a reason, because you put an on-base guy in front of Jake Berger. Jake Berger hits his nightly home run, and all of a sudden you got two or more runs instead of just the one. Again, I'm not saying that's the only reason he's hitting down there, but there is obviously some thought being put into this lineup construction. Whether you agree with it or not, Pedro's got his reasons. So the main thing for the White Sox tonight is the same thing that was the main thing last night, which is, hey, look at this offense. Spent last week barely scoring 2.5 runs a game, and now you got 15 runs in two nights, 6 home runs in two nights. Gavin Sheets is on a heater. Jake Berger is on, you know, he's only been on a heater since he's been here, basically. This lineup does look longer. It does look like there are more guys in it that can hurt you all of a sudden. I think if you would have been shown this starting nine, and obviously there are some injuries that are preventing it from being the starting nine, but if you were shown this starting nine at the beginning of the season, you might have been like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Not just because there are some backups in there, but because maybe you had questions about Gavin Sheets. Jake Berger didn't even make the opening day roster, so obviously there were questions about whether he was going to be able to play on a regular basis or not. I think you probably would have had some questions about this lineup then, based on what are these guys doing. All of a sudden, those guys who were maybe question marks earlier in the year are all of a sudden part of the meat of this order, no matter where in the order that might actually be from a batting position standpoint. But this looks like the offense, maybe not the one that was envisioned, but certainly the result that was envisioned, right? A team that could bash these home runs and put up a crooked number. This is what the White Sox are capable of doing. We haven't seen a lot of it, but we've seen it the last two nights, and let's see if they can make it a more regular thing.
Yeah, they've hit a shit ton of them in May. So, I mean, that's been exciting to see. And that is the legal, I think, term for that is shit ton. I don't know. Like, I think there's more to talk about with Berger, but something we also brought up was just, again, 46 games of Tim Anderson, Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert Jr., and Yasmani Grandal playing together since 2020. And Grandal got on base, got some singles, but then he had to get pulled from the game. Is there an update on Yasmani, and what can we really expect from him? Because that was a lot of our talk this offseason was, and, you know, he put in a ton of work to get the lower half healthy, but again, he's 34. Like, you know, he's not aging in reverse. That was my biggest concern. I don't know if, you know, the consistency of these flare-ups is concerning to the White Sox.
Well, First, I'll start and tell you what Pedro said after the game. He said that Yasmani's legs are still bothering him. The same thing, or stemming from, I should say, the hamstring tweak that we saw while he was running the bases last week in Kansas City. That's almost a week ago. It'll be a week ago tomorrow. It is affecting his running, and you can make all the jokes you want about how he, you know, is obviously not the fleetest of foot to begin with, but it is affecting his ability to run. It is affecting him on some plays behind the plate. It's, you know, depending on the play, it can affect him there as well. Depending on the moment, it, as happened tonight, it affected him on a swing. So this is something that can, as Pedro put it, come up and bite him pretty much at any time. And remember, this is different than the back spasms that were keeping him from catching, you know, here and there throughout the first bit of the season. But they want his bat in the lineup. They see what he can do out there. They love his on-base ability. They love what he's been able to do lately. It is obviously a much different Yasmani Grandal than we saw last year when he was struggling so mightily at the plate. That doesn't mean that it is a Yasmani Grandal who is ever going to be 100%. It's just possible that he won't be again, but or at least in the near future, I should say. But the White Sox are willing to deal with that, to go into a game knowing they might need to sub their starting catcher out of it at some point to get the contributions that he can make offensively. It is not ideal from any standpoint. I don't think anybody would say it's the perfect way to go. But that being said, this is a team that was having trouble consistently doing stuff offensively. And if you're going to be able to have a night like tonight, a night like last night, you got to get guys getting on base in front of the home run hitters. And Yasmani has been able to do that with relative success. So I don't know if we're ever going to not have questions about his health for the remainder of this year. But if he's healthy enough to give you what he's got, I think it's something that the White Sox will take at the moment.
Well, feel free to brush this off if we don't know enough already, but like IL has been brought up before with him. I don't know if, you know, this triggers maybe a possible IL stint for him, or is it, you know, think they're just going to continue to just kind of manage him day to day?
Day to day is exactly what Pedro said. It's a fine question, but I don't think it's something that's going to happen anytime soon. Right now, he's day to day. If we saw them hold him out for 3 days or 3 games, I should say, this weekend, 4 total days with the off day on Monday, if they gave him 4 off days in a row and were happy with him 2 nights, I mean, basically a game and a half, right? You know what he could do with the bat for a game and a half, and they're going to take that. I don't see them, you know, all of a sudden pushing the IL button right away, unless it's something that's going to, you know, get worse. If they're confident that it's just going to be this, maybe this is the way they do it. And he's not going to catch tomorrow, Pedro said, but this might be the way that it goes. We'll see.
Dougie does make a good point. I could probably time his first to home because they ice out came to.
Yeah.
And he said, Herb, now is your time to rematch him to a race. So we can time Yasmani kind of with a pulled hamstring.
Yeah,
and then you could maybe you're handicapped that way.
No, I'm going to beat his real time. One of these days, I am.
Herb, you're not. You didn't.
I am going to beat it. I am definitely going to beat that. Gavin Sheets today hit a home run again, his second game in a row. Then home plate umpire Dan Iasonia called the ball on the ground as strike three, and you saw something that I have not seen Gavin Sheets do before, yell at an umpire, and he deserved every second of it. Did Pedro talk about the ump show that was going on there? Because Pedro tried to go out and protect his player before he even got a chance to talk to the umpire. Iasonia's giving Gavin Sheets the hook. It's just the ump show I'm just tired of. And a player like that doesn't speak up that much, you know you messed up if he's yelling at you.
Pedro did not say anything. Gavin was asked about it after the game and was like, and was pretty diplomatic as he could have been, I suppose. He said, yeah, I get they got a tough job out there, but he said, but I need to stick up for myself as well. And so he was apparently not super pleased with the calls the last 2 nights. And so he was making it known there, probably helped, of course, by the fact that he was about to be subbed out for a defensive replacement anyway. So didn't exactly hurt the White Sox in that moment. Yeah, you're right. That's not what you see from Gavin Sheets, and that's him doing something probably with a baseball purpose in mind, not necessarily just letting the emotions fly, I would imagine. But we'll see if it pays off for him, if he gets a little more to his liking as this series wraps up tomorrow.
I would like to talk a little bit more about Gavin, though. You tweeted this out yesterday. He had this quote: "This isn't over. It's not over. We've got too much talent in here to just lie down and roll over. We've got some big matchups these next 2 weeks, and we could still make a statement. Have a great May and take it into June and see what happens. This isn't over." He comes out, hits another homer, and we've seen even some defensive flashes. He had a nice dive and catch a couple games ago. I mean, what have you seen in Gavin Sheets in 2023 compared to what we have seen in, the previous 2022 and 2021 years?
I think consistency has to be the word. I think he's probably been, if you take that horrible April into account, he's probably been one of the White Sox more consistent hitters. Now, we're just starting to see the power come kind of in a bunch here a little bit. Obviously two nights in a row with a home run, but when he was getting that limited playing time, it's not like he'd play for the first time in 5 days and whack a home run necessarily. But with those opportunities, with those very limited opportunities, when he was kind of a bench bat, basically, while Oscar Colas was playing every day in right field, he was getting the hits that he needed to stay consistent. And now that Colas gets sent down, it was described then as a big opportunity for Gavin Sheets to play a lot of right field. And now that Eloy Jimenez is recovering from his appendectomy as well, that's even more certainty that Gavin's going to be in the lineup every day. Once Eloy comes back, we'll see what happens with that, obviously, because you got to have Eloy in the lineup. You got to keep Jake Berger in the lineup. Where's Gavin Sheets going to play? It's going to be a puzzle for Pedro to put together, certainly. But for the moment, Gavin is taking advantage of that opportunity that he had. And even with Colas, tearing it up down in AAA, is there really this need to rush him or to get him back here because Gavin is playing well? Has Gavin, won that competition in the end kind of thing, right? I mean, Oscar won it at the end of spring training, but if you carry it over another month, did Gavin end up winning that competition? When you talk to Gavin, when you talk to Jake, when you talk to Andrew Vaughn, these guys are younger players, obviously, on this White Sox team, but they've been here before and they've been playing big league ball for a while now or for the better part of a while now. And, if they want to be the emotional engine, the emotional engine of this team and certainly the offensive engine of this team, those three guys all hit a home run today. Two of them hit a home run yesterday. Let them, because they're the ones who are getting up there and talking the way that I think the White Sox want him to talk right now. The whole it's not over thing, the whole, hey, we've got this firepower. They might be kind of rallying together. How about Jake Berger with the triple into the gap tonight? I mean, you're seeing these guys maybe try to will this thing back a little bit. And, who knows what success they'll have because it's a pretty deep hole to have to dig out of. But right now, those guys are putting on a show and kind of driving things right now.
You bringing it up that way just made me think that Jake Berger is probably now Stephen Nicholas, our usual producer's favorite player now, showing the hustle. That grit. I mean, he didn't settle for a double. No. I mean, he hustled all the way to third. Yes. Shout out to Stephen.
And I want to ask one thing I think Sean and I agree on is like perplexing move in the ninth where he has both Garrett Crochet and Kendall Graveman warming up and brings Kendall Graveman in the game. Kendall has a good inning, only pitches 12 pitches. The reason why I ask is because I can see tomorrow him, somebody saying, Kendall and or Joe Kelly is not available. Why did the decision, did he divulge the decision to go to Kendall there instead of getting in Garrett Crochet for his first action of the year?
He did not talk about that post game, but as I always say when it comes to Pedro and the relief pitching decisions, it's about previously identified portions of the lineup. And it could be just a situation where Kendall gets in trouble and he bleeds into a part of the lineup that he wasn't targeted to pitch against. Then you got Garrett there to come in and pitch against the portion of the lineup that he was targeted to pitch against. So I think it is far less about situation as not about situation, obviously, because you see a certain number of guys when they're winning versus when they're not, obviously, but the way that they're deployed, the order in which they're deployed, has a lot more to do with where they are in the opposing lineup, I think, than a lot of people think.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see Crochet warmed up and, you know, with the gaps in runs in both yesterday, you know, being 8-3 and then 7-2 today. Surprised we didn't see Crochet thrown out in games of, you know, possible non-circumstance, because, you know, if tomorrow is close, will we see Crochet in his first, you know, action?
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah. I go back to what Pedro was saying yesterday when Garrett came back about how he's going to be used, and it kind of seemed like they haven't, not that they haven't settled on it yet, but that they have kept their options open so Garrett can be used in any number of situations. And my question specifically was, oh, so is he like a Swiss Army knife? Is he just going to do a bunch of different stuff? And Pedro's answer was a little, you know, it caught my attention. It was, we'll see. Like, he's prepared to do that, but we'll see how it plays out, kind of thing. And so maybe right now they're just like, all right, well, we'll save Garrett. We'll keep Garrett open for any possible options. Maybe they got to cover 2 or 3 innings tomorrow. And maybe that's what Crochet can go do. Maybe there is a tight game or a tie score or, you know, a late thing. Maybe he wants to put him out there in a safe situation. Who knows? So yeah. I think the idea is maybe that by not pitching him in these two games where things were pretty well decided, maybe he can use him. He can save him and use him, you know, in a number of different ways, or in one of a number of different ways in tomorrow's game or in Friday's game or whenever.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day, though. It's Cy Cease Day. So, I mean, hopefully they're not, you know, needing length out of the bullpen. Hopefully Dylan can go out and shove. But anyways, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about the opponent tomorrow, the opportunity to sweep, and also just get a temperature on the Guardians, because we talked about it before you joined here, Vinny. We're not sure how good they are. Do want to take a break, though, and let you know, you got some Shady Rays on your head?
I do have some Shady Rays in my head.
You could take on the sun with gear built to last, just like Herb. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they tell us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. If you don't love your Shady Rays, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized shades. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. This bobblehead, and I think Josh has brought it up a couple times, that Southpaw is on the set. We do love our props. We do love the set decorations that were sent in from FOCO. Go show them some love over at FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO, that's us, for 10% off. Again, that's just CHGO. Don't add that's us. That won't do anything. Promo code CHGO for 10% off, though. Get fitted in the best sports gear around. They have hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. And for baseball season, they have Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need for a game. So again, check out FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com. All right. Vinny, what's your vibe on these Guardians? Because we talked about them a little bit earlier, and you know, you do talk about length, but Mike Clevenger nearly gave them 7 innings tonight. It seems like the White Sox aren't having trouble with this Cleveland team. I don't know if you guys have a differing opinion, but Vinny, after seeing 2 games from the Guardians, do you think that they're better than what they were last year? Worse than what they were? You know, what's your temperature on them?
Well, I think, you know, watching what they did so well and watching how they won so many games and how they played last year, probably a tough thing to repeat, right? Particularly from a statistical standpoint, I would imagine, for those who look at those numbers, probably something that's a little tough to repeat. We were talking on the way up, you know, some of the problems going on with this pitching staff right now. I mean, you know, McKenzie's hurt. Plesac got sent down to the minors, and the guy really who has been the constant for them, the mainstay, Shane Bieber, gave up more hits yesterday than he's ever given up in any start before in his career. So obviously it starts with that pitching. This is not the entirety of these Guardians. Let's remember their two best hitters have not played didn't play tonight. And then, you know, Josh Naylor had to leave last night's game. So, you know, Jose Ramirez, who is just one of the best players in baseball, no doubt about it, just on the bereavement list this week. So the White Sox, you could say, caught a nice break here, not having to pitch to Jose Ramirez, because usually when they and really any team pitch to Jose Ramirez, it doesn't usually work out too well for them. But so, you know, this is obviously not that complete Guardians team that I think you usually would expect to see. But yeah, that being said, they've got some problems going on, particularly in the starting rotation. If that's not going to work for them, then it's going to be extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, for them to repeat what they did last year. So we've been talking, you know, for a month and a half now about how even though the White Sox are where they are with their record, this division, it's not really I don't want to use the word eliminating, because math is the only thing that can eliminate you, but it's not really prohibitive to a comeback of sorts, to a turnaround of sorts. So we'll see. It has to play out that way. Certainly the White Sox have to play better, but you know, the Guardians are one of those teams that is allowing, you could say, the White Sox to hang around, because they're not necessarily impressing a terrible amount either.
Real quick, just notice this. All of the AL Central teams currently have a record of 5-5 in their last 10.
Perfect.
The Twins, Tigers, Guardians, Sox, and Royals are all 5-5 in their last 10. It's a bad division.
Yeah, very bad.
But hey, for the White Sox and the Royals, that's quite the improvement.
That's true.
They'll take 500 after what happened to them in April.
White Sox are only 8 games out now.
And that's why I take these wins, because they've had so few. But I also know that the White Sox are beating an absolute dog crap team, especially with the two players that are out. Shane Bieber, they beat him. That was a good victory, but I think the team had no problems. After they got their fourth run, the White Sox yesterday, I was like, they're good, because that Cleveland team doesn't have the punch to come back against the White Sox. And the same thing that happened today, once the White Sox got the lead and they were up clear 4-1, I was like, game's over. The Guardians don't have enough to get the job done. So while I'm happy with the wins, I think it's more of the Guardians just being so bad than the White Sox being this good. Now, if the White Sox can just fool themselves and say, we are this good, and continue this on through the weekend and beat some other teams and beat those Kansas City Royals who are coming into town, that will start a nice ball rolling. And then they go and play these Cleveland Guardians again with that Jose Ramirez and hopefully without that Josh Naylor, because that man kills the White Sox.
Well, Herb, though, remember, it takes two to tango. I mean, you can talk about the White Sox, beating up on the Guardians, but the Kansas City Royals are one of the two worst teams in baseball, and the White Sox just lost 3 or 4 games they played against them. They like I said, it takes two, to quote Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston. You can have the team on the other side of the field be playing poorly, but the White Sox had to show up with the bats the last two nights in order to take advantage of it.
Would we say this is the most complete win the White Sox have had this year?
I'd say last night. I'd say last night because Lance Lynn was very, very good last night. And Mike Clevenger tonight put multiple guys on pretty much in every inning he pitched and just happened to get out of it. And so that's great. You know, the Sox defense played well tonight, which they did not do last night. So that's a good point in your favor there, Sean. But I would say that Lance Lynn was very, very good last night.
So have they played a complete game now?
I mean, you said their most complete game.
Their most complete game was yesterday. I was saying that yesterday to you, and you brought up the Ayers part, and I was like, yeah, that's true, true, true.
But I hear the Lynn point.
Because we thought that Clevenger job done, but if this was a team that had Jose Ramirez in it or was a different team, I'm thinking he's getting hit harder than this, and those walks that he gives up, for the 4 walks he gives up, are scoring.
That's the thing. I mean, again, like lefty power. I mean, they're two players with left-handed power out, Naylor and J-Ram. So I think this definitely would have looked different if those two were in that lineup, 100%.
And to the point of last night also, it's one more inning out of Lynn, too. You know what I mean? Sure. So, you know, Clevenger, again, was fine tonight. He got the job done, no doubt about it. But he leaves with the bases loaded, nobody out in the seventh inning. Lance pitched into the eighth last night, and obviously that's when some runs got scored against him. But, you know, makes it one more inning that bullpen doesn't have to cover, too.
I hear that. All right, let's talk about tomorrow, though. Is tomorrow going to be the most complete win for the White Sox? Are they going to be able to sweep a team finally? They've already won their third series this year. What's the second dislike for folks? I mean, come on. We're already at Matt Thornton likes. Let's get up to 40. They've already won their third series of 2023. Now they can get their first sweep. Are the White Sox talking about that in the clubhouse? Does that matter? Or is it just, you know, hey, 5 days at a time still going back to spring training?
I think it's more one game at a time now, one day at a time, Sean. I mean, in these guys' eyes, it's just, hey, let's do that again. You know what I mean? Like they know what they've done. You know, we had Pedro say the other day that he doesn't look at the standings and he doesn't even know how far back they are. But, you know, they know what April looked like and they know how much ground they have to make up. And they know that the last two nights are great, but you got to do it again. And you got to do it again a lot more times too. So, it's a good start. Gavin Sheets said that they, you know, they know the importance of these division games coming up, and you know that they can make up ground a little faster. Let's say that way. That's something that they know, and I don't think that they care about a sweep, but I think they care about winning tomorrow, and that means a sweep, and so they'll be happy to have a little streak to get on a little roll here. So yeah, I mean, remember, it's. Let's put it this way. If they won every series they played all year and never swept anybody, they'd be perfectly happy with that.
Absolutely.
And just looked at Logan Allen, the starting pitcher for the Guardians tomorrow. Decent enough. 4.5 ERA on the season and 4 starts. So lefty, though. So we will probably see Andrew Benintendi dropped in the lineup and maybe no Gavin Sheets. So all mostly right-handed lineup, hopefully, because we're not probably expecting Yasmani Grandal to play no matter what, night game after day game, and he got hurt today. So I'm looking forward to the White Sox returning to their old ways of just attacking left-handers and crushing them, especially since they've been hitting home runs left and right lately.
Hopefully. I might have to sprinkle on my man Andrew Vaughn. Did you know they have two Logan Allens?
You told us this. You broke down the whole thing. You should break it down again.
I gotta find this.
About how many Logans in the world and how many Logan Allens in the world and how many Cleveland Guardians are Logan Allen and Logan Allens are Cleveland Guardians.
All right, now I gotta find
this. It's very weird. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's gonna be a nice warm day, 110 start, and with the lefty on the bump that they've never seen, they crushed Vinny's guy, Peyton Love is a batting field today. It was good to see. No one said in the broadcast either. It was right there, too, Vinny. I didn't hear Jason or Steve. They both are right there with you in the humor part. They could just walk to there.
Steve, I get, you know, he turned off the music paying attention somewhere around the 1976 or something like that. But Jason, come on, man. That's right up your alley. That's on a tee for you.
What's on a tee for me is Vinny wrote a brand new article at allchgo.com. And look at Sarah with the screen grab of the article too. Kind of giving it away. Vinny, I guess Davis Martin has had Tommy John surgery. Why don't you update us?
Yeah, it's not good for the White Sox. That's for sure. The team has been blessed with or fortunate enough to have experienced pretty good starting pitching health over the last two seasons. Certainly that was the case in 2021 when they won the division. Last year, obviously Lance Lynn missed the first 2 months of the year after the surgery in the spring. Michael Kopech was on the IL kind of a bunch. But other than that, it's been pretty good. It better stay that way for them because there's really nothing exciting or confidence inspiring down there anymore now that Davis Martin is out for the year. He would have been a very confidence inspiring sixth starter, I think. You know, that's kind of a luxury, really, when you have a guy pitch last season at a major league caliber and then you're like, all right, well, we're going to keep you in that sixth spot and use you as the fill-in. That's a pretty nice thing to have. They don't have that anymore. I think kind of pitching without a safety net is what I called it in that article, because the next guy they'd be going to is Jesse Schultens. You know, there were some moves made over the offseason, minor ones that no one got really excited about. AJ Alexi, who has not been very good down at AAA, and then Nate Fisher, who has been okay down at AAA. But again, nobody's going to get excited about that. There was no Johnny Cueto style move this winter and or spring. And really, I feel that has a lot to do with the fact that they couldn't promise opportunity to anybody. They went out and got Mike Clevinger for $12 million and the rotation was full. So, you know, but this is a Major League Baseball season and you're going to use more than five starting pitchers. To be able to use Davis Martin in a jam, in a pinch when someone's on the IL for a few days, that would have been great, but now they aren't able to do that. And so there's going to be nothing but question marks the next time, or the first time, I should say, because they've made all their starts so far, the first time that they're going to need to call on somebody other than their starting five. By the way, you want to know how infrequent it is for a team to go deep into a season with only using five starting pitchers? How many have done it this year? We're in mid-May. How many have used only five starting pitchers? The answer is two.
I was going to say two.
I was going to say five.
The White Sox are one of them. The Toronto Blue Jays, I believe, are the other one. And Pedro and James Fegan had a nice little chat, fun chat about that during our media session earlier. But yeah, two teams, and that's it. And so you're not going to get to the end of the road with only five guys. And so you're going to see Jesse Schultens come up and start a game or multiple games this year. I think it was nine starts for Davis Martin last year, and that was almost exclusively in fill-in duty. So here you go. This is not a great thing for the White Sox to be without Davis Martin.
Well, thank God Tanner Banks exists. Garrett Crochet apparently can throw 100 innings now. They fixed that when he had Tommy John surgery. And Reynaldo Lopez used to start, so don't worry. He's got LASIK now. And Johnny Cueto has been so bad in Miami that they're probably just going to let him go, and Johnny Cueto will be back riding in on his steed to save the day. So, you know, we don't need to hit the panic button yet. No one's injured, right? So, I mean, I guess Davis Martin.
Well, sure.
You wrote the article because Davis Martin's injured.
Well, he's injured, yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, it's not a problem today, but it's going to be a thing at some point. And listen, it's not like they have to forfeit the game because they don't have anybody. There's going to be a pitcher who comes up and makes a start, but it is not a guy who can deliver the sort of dependability that you would have expected from Davis Martin. Now, the one point I'll make is that going into last year, nobody knew who the hell Davis Martin was. Yeah. And so somebody else could absolutely turn in a performance like Davis Martin did, because he just did it last year. You know, when he was not expected to play any sort of role and he became this sixth starter extraordinaire. So it's certainly possible for it to go the other way too. But in terms of dependability, reliability, experience, the White Sox don't really have much of that, if any of that, to lean on the next time they need to call somebody up to fill a spot in the rotation.
Yeah.
Well, positivity on the front of not having a doubleheader scheduled as yet through May 17th, the White Sox don't have to do that and have to scramble for a minor league pitcher and then another pitcher to have to start for them and later in the game. So they don't have any schedule for the rest of the year. So knock on wood, there's no more of that because of the lack of depth on starting pitching. So, because last year I remember so many of those doubleheader games they had to play, or makeup games they had to play with people they had to just call up on a moment's notice, and they had to come up, and it was not good results usually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just thinking and looking at the current top 30 prospect list, I mean, maybe Sean Burke. I think it would be very early for him. Christian Mena has been, you know, not perfect in AA Birmingham, but he's got a lot of strikeouts. So maybe they'd rush him up. But he's 20. Even Matthew Thompson, he's 22. It'd be early for him to get a call
Paulette,
up. But
I know Paulette's just like in single A's, but
yeah, I mean he was
doing well.
He's coming off Tommy John, so I mean that'd be a quick one for him. I mean, that's like Mike Leake stuff. Just calling him up to make his MLB debut. So, like Vinny said in the article, which you should go check out at allchgo.com, pitching without a safety net, really. Just hoping that they just stay healthy. And hopefully, Dylan Cease has a nice outing tomorrow. And we can have the nice pregame, have a nice postgame, and talk about a White Sox sweep. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And go read his latest piece up at allchgo.com about Davis Martin. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Ekmanwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Sarah Fichter for producing the show. We have a pregame tomorrow at 12:30 and then a postgame after when the White Sox sweep. Thank you. Go Sox.